Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. How many are excited to be here this morning? How many are ready for change in their life? You know, without change, we're not going anywhere. Just another day. If we only understood, if we come out of ourselves and on what we think we have as understanding and put the things aside that distract us from the love and grace of God, I'm telling you, your life would be such a dynamic force for God. You'd begin to see the power of God work in your life. You begin to see the authority of God work in your life. And when you minister in situations, when you try to share with people, the Holy Spirit will come on the scene and He will give words that will absolutely change that person because the change has taken place in you. Amen. I'm so excited this morning, I can't hardly contain myself. Yes. Amen. Welcome our guests this morning. For those of you who have not met her, this is Ruby, Shanae's sister. We're glad to have her and Ruby here. And the little man, Jason. I had the J's right, I just didn't have the right name. Rob, it's good to see you. Michael, it's such a blessing to have you with us. Dusty. Good to see Marlene this morning. Good to have Kathy here. People, I'm telling you right now, we're in the time when God is wanting to revolution not only our lives, but other people's lives. And He can only do that through us and make us effective ministers. You know, somebody was talking about, I want to be sensitive to the Spirit here. I don't want to just get off and start this if that's not what God wants. In the Old Covenant, in Old Testament times, there were different anointings on people. There was anointing to be a king, anointing to be a prophet, you know, whatever you were, an anointing to be a judge. But with the new covenant, we have the ability now, and we have dwelling in us Jesus the Christ, who is the anointed one. So we carry an anointing all the time, and we can be effective at all moments in our lives. It's not a special anointing, it's the anointing, because the anointed one dwells in us. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to meditate on that just a little bit. We don't want to react to outside stimuli. We want to react to the Spirit of God, the Word of God, which also is and brings the peace of God in all circumstances. What Kathy's just gone through and is going through. Still to this day, he's a miracle. And if you don't believe me, ask her. She'll tell you what the doctor said. She'll tell you what she said. That's her confession. You better believe it's going to have a good outcome. Because God's Word doesn't return void. The key is it's got to come out of your mouth. You got to believe it first. Amen? Hallelujah. God is so good this morning. You know, I don't want to get stuck in a place where I think that because I have some knowledge, I've got the total answer. Or the total understanding. Maybe that's a better way to put it. We have the total answer. Amen. We have the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And one of the things the Scripture means when it talks about He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through Him, that means that there should be continual, constant change in our lives because of the Word of God and because of the Spirit of God speaking to us. When we get comfortable in a doctrine or a belief that we have, look out. You see, God, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for this day. Before I go any further, Lord, I want to thank You and praise You for this day. I thank You for these people. Lord, once again, I want to be an effective minister for You. So, Holy Spirit, I just yield to You. I say You do what You want to do. speak to, through me, Lord. Use me as your oracle in Jesus' name. Bless these people. Let there be change beginning right now, Lord. And let them begin to feel like they've never felt before, that they're getting closer to you and that you, Lord, are becoming more real in their lives than you have ever been. They're not operating on yesterday. They're not comfortable with where they are. They want to move on. So we praise you and thank you for this day. We give you glory and honor because this is a day you have made. And now we thank you, Holy Spirit. We invite you, come take control. Accomplish in this house what you and our Father want accomplished by our Father's will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One of the things, Gene and I have talked about this at length and many, many, many times, many different ways. And one of the things that keep us from walking in the fullness of God is the fact that every little distraction or bump in the road or every little friction or whatever comes takes our focus off of the Word of God. And instead of looking to Him who is the author and the finisher, that means, I don't care where you are now, He's not done yet. Say amen. It's the truth. There's more coming. Amen? There's more coming. He's not done yet. He is perfecting us. We're not perfect yet. And I get what makes me totally, absolutely thrill and getting so excited, I just can't hardly contain it, is the fact that God's not done talking and He's ministering to me and bringing revelation to me through the Word all the time, both by what I share and in my time with the Lord. Amen. The world and people out there who are not in this place, and by this I mean in the church, not just this church, but in the church, who really have revelation and who really understand what walking in the Spirit means. I mean, man, they are effective in the kingdom of God. But how effective can we be if we have a circumstance or a situation that comes up in our life and we get focused on that? What am I saying? I'm saying expect the enemy to do what the enemy does. And expect people who are not of God, whose father is the devil, to do what they're going to do. But it shouldn't affect you in a negative way. Because your heart, your focus is on the Lord and on His Word. And what does the Bible say about His Word? It does not return void. It accomplishes what it's sent to do. Not only out there, but in here. Even if it's when you're speaking to somebody else that the revelation comes, it's still revelation. And as God changes you, that will begin to be the catalyst that changes other people. Amen? I want us to be free this morning to worship and praise. So I think I'm going to go ahead with what God's given me. If you were here Wednesday night, you got a little taste or a little glimpse of it, but I want to go further into that. I have for years, and I'm not just talking one or two, I have for years cried out to God for some answers. I've not only cried out, I've cried out to God for answers to forms of lack, to the forms of lack or the appearance of what is lack in my life. I said for years I have cried and I have cried out to God for some answers to the forms of lack in my life. Now if you'll stop for a minute and let the Spirit of God minister to you, you'll see that there are forms of lack in your life. One of the forms of lack is, why do I react the way I react when something happens? Gene and I laugh and giggle on the way up here because I'm very aware of traffic, the things that people do when they drive. I'm telling you, it seems like people get behind the wheel and, dear God, they lose their mind. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. And that used to make me so angry. Of course, that's because I'm such a perfect and great driver myself. No. No. Y'all can laugh when it's funny. But the point is that used to affect me, you know. What it does is it steals your joy. It makes you ineffective to be a minister because what's happening is you're allowing the circumstances of your life to be more in control than the Word of God and the Spirit of God, who should be in control, and you're reacting to that. And when you take your eyes off of God and off of the Word, and you don't speak the Word, you can't speak the Word in that situation, where are you? You've been pulled away from the faith of God, the understanding of God, and your focus is on your hurt or your anger or the mistreatment you've suffered. Are you with me? My entire Christian life, not important how many years, just it's been more than a day or two, I have struggled with some things. I believe them. I'll pray for somebody else. But when it comes down to me, I'm thinking, God, why isn't it not working? It's because your thinking's wrong, Bill. It's because your thought processes are not right. It's because I'm not really in control of your life. Jesus left so the Comforter could come. And as I said when I started this morning, you have to remember that in the Old Testament, they didn't have the ability to have Christ dwelling in them, the Anointed One. They experienced anointings, but they didn't have the Anointed One dwelling and living in them. But we have that today. Jesus sent the Comforter, so we have the Holy Spirit in us. We also have the Christ, the Anointed One, who makes that anointing, that believes that anointing, and we are anointed all the time. The anointing doesn't change. Our ability to be effective changes when we let circumstances, traffic, somebody who's treated us wrong, somebody who's spoken evilness to us or spoken harshly to us, it pulls our mind away from God and makes us ineffective. Let me just say this scripture. How many know that the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath? The Bible says be wise as a serpent but harmless as a dove. See, I can work this out in my own life. Recently, there was a circumstance or a situation that came up that was meant to divide my son and I. Now, he's not in a place where he's doing everything that I think he should be doing. But the point is, what I see through that, and when I hear his words echoing from the past, in other words, things that I've walked through with him and lived through with him, I begin to see. Bill very eloquently spoke about this several years ago when he talked about a co-worker. And he asked God, God, let me see that person through your eyes. And you begin to get an understanding of how much he loves them. And one of the things my son said to me here a while back, prior to what happened the other day, is in fact, Dad, even though I've done some things that you weren't really crazy about, you never stopped loving me. Now translate that into the kingdom of God, into your relationship with God and into your relationships with other people. At the moment you become distracted or become angry, what happens? You don't have the ability to love at that moment, do you? The Bible says there's murder in your heart. Oh, we don't like that. Don't lie against the truth. Don't lie against the truth. Two weeks ago on Sunday morning, as I woke up and got out of bed, I told some of the people this Wednesday night, I heard two words come from God. For those of you who weren't there, I'll just share with you, but those of you who were, you remember this. We went to lunch one day after service when Stan and Connie were still here. We're sitting in Red Robin. Stan preached the message, and all of a sudden we're sitting there, and all of a sudden several people started being convicted of drinking soda pop. And he never said anything about soda pop. It's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. Jesus is the one by the Spirit of God who brings change in your life. And you hear what you need to hear from here if you're in tune with Him and His Spirit. And Stan's sitting there shaking his head, and I think, I never said anything about that. I never said bad or good or anything about it. Didn't even talk about soda pop. But they were convicted. How many know conviction comes from God, but condemnation comes from Satan? God says, if your heart condemns you, I'm greater than your heart. So when we do something wrong, don't let the enemy steal from you, steal your joy. Turn to Him and say, thank you, Lord. Repent and go on with God. Amen. And thank God that He's changing you. He's bringing revelation. But the point is, if we're walking in the Spirit like we're supposed to be, then when those things happen, we don't start to... The Bible says, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. They're doing all they know. They're doing all they can do because that's all they know. How many know what I'm saying? Are you with me? Turn with me to James chapter 1. We're going to read verses 5 through 8. That's James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. How many are glad you're here this morning? I'm glad I'm here. If for no other reason than I get to hear the Word, even if it's coming from my mouth. Did you hear that? I get to hear the Word, even though it may be coming from my mouth. Because I know the greater one dwells in me. This is the confidence that we have in Him. He who has begun a good work in you will perfect that work until the day of the return of His Son. And that means no matter what you do or how you react in any circumstance, God is still working on you. One of the things that was shared with me this morning is that somebody said to me, they said, but I do these things and I always feel like I'm substandard, like I'm not worthy, you know, of what God's doing. Honey, if you weren't worthy, then God still wouldn't be striving with you. Amen. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, remember I told you I've been crying out for years? I don't understand, God. I can pray for other people, I can see results, but God, why aren't these things operating in my life? Why am I not seeing the victory? Why am I not seeing the power? And then one Sunday morning, He wakes me up and He says, double-minded. Hello? What does that mean, double-minded? Well, I didn't have a real understanding of what double-minded was. Verse 5, James chapter 1 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. In other words, He's not reviling you because you hadn't got it. What's the matter with you, old ugly thing? How come you haven't got it yet? And that's not the way He speaks to us. Amen? That's the way man reacts to us, but God never reacts that way. He comes to us with such love and compassion, we can't even comprehend it. My dear, my precious one, my child, my loved one, this is a better way to go. He never belittles or berates us like we berate and belittle ourselves and we do other people. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Without reproach. And it will be given to him. What will be given? Wisdom. How many know the fear of God, meaning your reverence for God, is the beginning of wisdom? Because He's the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And the only way we get to Him is through God's wisdom, not our own. Not our own understanding. Not our own way we do things. Not our comfort zone. For many of us, change isn't comfortable. But God can change that too. Where change is the mode of being comfortable. Because you know why? Because when change comes, that means God is still speaking to us. He's still revealing His life to us. He's still revealing truth to us. And He's still making us effective. And He wants to make us. And the reason for all that is so He can make us effective in the kingdom of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He doesn't reproach us, even if we mess up. In other words, He doesn't point fingers and say, well, you sure screwed up that time, didn't you? Are you ever going to get it? Anybody ever heard God speak that way to him? I didn't think so. Verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith without doubting, or with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. In other words, everything that comes along, you're just carried off and, you left God in the dust. Or on the boat, or however you want to put it, on the shore. When we ask for things in faith, we need to understand. First of all, we've got to get off our microwave mentality. Thinking I've got to see it right now. How many have ever had a deep revelation from God that seemed to take a while for you to get it? How many have ever believed God for something when it took a while to get it? And you're about at the place where you think, Lord, it's never going to come. I told the people Wednesday night that there was one Easter Sunday. It was an Easter Sunday evening. We'd had a marvelous service. You'd really feel the anointing and the presence of God. And I went down to the altar and I was praying, and God began to speak to me what seemed to me to be audibly the way I'm speaking to you. Yet I know it was God speaking to my heart. And He began to tell me things that my first reaction was, that can't be God. That's pride. And of course, at that time we were admonished, write it down. When somebody gives you something like that, write it down. Well, this time it came from God. Nobody whispered in my ear. It was God. It was the Spirit of God. And now after all these many years, I'd come to the place where I thought, Bill, you missed it. Forget it. And I'd let it go. I'd let it go. And you know why I know it was from God? Because it was based on Scripture. It gave me Scriptures. The enemy doesn't give you promises through the Scripture. He tries to distort the Scripture. Amen? Isn't that what he did with Jesus? And I'd given up on it. I'd said, I just missed it. And so I just basically put it out of my mind. I have begun a good work in you, and I will complete that work until the return of my Son Jesus. I am the author and the finisher of your faith. Say, He's the author and finisher of my faith. Hello? Did Kathy bring her cats this morning? Cat got everybody's tongue? What you need? I said, say that He is the author and finisher of my faith. That's supposed to be the response here, folks. Amen. See, the reason I want a response is not just so I can hear your voices, but when you hear you and you meditate on that, it's effective in your life. Amen. I can stand up here and talk to you all day long, but if you don't meditate on it, if you don't take it and run with it, it's ineffective. Well, that it appears to be, but it'll gnaw on you. Why can I say that? How many know what I'm talking about? Because the Word of God, when it's sent, accomplishes what it's sent to do, and it will not return void. But one of the things God tells us is we've got to meditate on His Word. That means you dissect it, you chew on it, you talk about it, you think about it, you put it in any way that makes sense to you, and all of a sudden, revelation comes. It then comes from Logos to Rhema. Revealed Word. Not just written Word, but revealed Word in your life. And it becomes real and alive to you. What did God say? If that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it'll make alive or quicken, in one of the translations, your mortal body. Amen? It'll make alive your mortal body. Your understanding will be affected. Amen? But what happens is the enemy brings distractions. He knows the places where we feel inferior. He knows the places where we have the ability to get upset about something. And then the Word of God and God is not what we're thinking about. We're licking our wounds, putting our security blanket on, and crying. You know, let me ask you a question. Have any of you ever found peace in your disgruntled? What brings peace to your life? Do you not understand that word, Jean or Marie? Disgruntled? Disgruntled means you don't have peace, you're upset. The whole world seems, you're just affected by the whole world. But if that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in you, then that should be put down. And you should begin immediately to thank God for who you are. Thank God that you have the words of eternal life, because Jesus has the words of eternal life. And where's Jesus? In you. It's Jesus in you, the hope of glory, amen? But it's the hope of somebody else finding glory too, amen? And you can become effective, and not only that, it brings peace, doesn't it? When God steps on the scene, you can't be angry. And your focus goes back to where it belongs, right? Amen? Hallelujah. I think we're getting someplace here. Verse 7, for let not that man suppose, what man? The double-minded man? Suppose that he will receive anything from God, from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Double-minded is, and I go back in there, I'm going to read here in a minute. In fact, the next one, if you want to start turning there now. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. The Bible says, how long are you going to operate between two opinions? And I'm going to tell you, it's not the enemy's opinion. It's the opinion you take on because of the stimuli that's outside coming on you, and you have a second opinion. You know what God's Word says, but your opinion and your circumstance is now in control of your life for that moment. Don't shout me down just because I'm preaching real good. Come on now. Come on now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And here's the question that's asked. Someday these pages are going to loosen up. Still too new. I love my little red New King James, but it's just about plumb wore out. Here it is, verse 21. And Elijah the prophet came to the people and said, how long will you falter? I like the way that's worded. Between two opinions. If the Lord is God, follow Him. And if Baal or your circumstances or your outside stimuli or the world is God, then serve Him. Amen? See, that's where the double-mindedness comes in, is because we know what the Word says, but we have another opinion. And what happens, we revert to that opinion when something happens that is a negative stimuli from the world or from outside. Instead of reacting on what we know and what we have in us, which is the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in us bodily, we react to the outside things and it pulls us right away. And then what happens if you let it go on for very long, you begin to get in the place where I was, where you've got a double, you are double-minded. God, I know it's real. I've seen it work, but it just doesn't work for me. Hello? How many things have you asked for God for, or you believe God for, walking in the Word, knowing it's a promise of God, that you have not received? It may have taken most of my Christian life to get here where I am today, but I thank God I'm here. And that's because God's mercy and His grace is uncompromising, unchanging, unstoppable, but also beyond my understanding. Has never failed. You know what would be the tragedy? Not that it seems to me to come this late in my Christian walk, but if it had never come at all. Amen. Amen. And we're the hindrance. We have knowledge, but we refuse to walk in that knowledge. There are some things we walk in because, man, we just decide it's true. But what does your Bible say? Let God be true and every man a liar. We're going to look at that. You want to know where that's at before I get to it? It's Romans 3:4. It says, let God be true and every man a liar. Are you with me so far? If you're taking notes, you can write it down, or if you want to turn with me, you're welcome to. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 5 through 9. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 5 through 9. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. How many are thankful the Lord's still speaking to them? Listen to me. God, when He formed us and fashioned us in our mother's womb, the Bible says He knew us before the foundations of the world. And He already placed in and equipped us because He knew the decisions we'd make. He didn't force them, but He knew the decisions we'd make. And so He placed the equipping and the anointing in us at that time. Numbered the hairs on our head. And then in His infinite wisdom, He knew when the best time for us to be here to have the most effect on this world and other people was. And that's why we are here for such a time as this. I mean, let's just put it the way it really is. This world is going to hell in a handbasket. Telling people that is not proclaiming the good news. I heard a preacher talking about this just recently, and I meditated on it, and it's absolutely the truth. You never saw Jesus point somebody and say, you are going to hell. What He did was He reached out and He met the physical needs. He healed them and delivered them, whatever that was, whether it was emotional, physical, mental, whatever it was, whether it was demon possession, he met the need first. And then the result was the life change that brought them and put them into the kingdom of God. Am I right or wrong? Well, let God be true and every man a lie. It's right there in your book. Amen. So he's prepared us. He prepared us even before we were Christians. He knew that there'd come a day when we'd surrender. And it doesn't make any difference if you did it when you were a child or you did it when you were 90. Doesn't make any difference if you were walking the earth and in your prime or you were on your deathbed. He knew the decision you were going to make. And Jesus came not based on time, but based on love, because God created us for Himself. That means every living human being. Remember, the difference is there are some who remain God's creation and never become sons of God because they refuse Jesus in their life. They refuse to believe that He is the Son of God, that He was born of a virgin, and that He had took your sins away. And He's done it for all. He's done it for them too, but they're not walking in that knowledge. That's by choice, folks. Not because we're special, and yet we are special. Now figure that one out. Whatever. Now He who has prepared us for this very thing is God. He who has prepared you is God for this very thing. Who also has given us the Spirit. How many of you have the Holy Spirit? That's your guarantee right there. You got what He said you would have, what He said He'd send. Amen? That's your guarantee. That's not a written guarantee. I mean, it is from the Word, but it's a reality guarantee because it's an operation. He's an operation in your life. Amen? So we are always confident. Oh, wait a minute. Did I read that right? We are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. That's something some of us may be struggling with right now, especially in this day and time. But we're not separated from the Lord. We're just absent from His presence in physicalness. Did you hear what I said? We're not separated from Him in reality and spiritually. But in the physical, He's not right here standing before us. And yet, He is in the fact that we are His hands and feet and mouthpiece in this earth. If that wasn't the case, then how could we walk in the reality of what He said? These things will you do in My name, and even greater things in My name? Are you with me? Is it making any sense to you? For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith and not by our hurts. We walk by faith and not the wrong we see in this world. We walk by faith and not what we see everybody else doing in this world. Amen? And because we walk by faith, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body is to be present for the Lord. But the Lord is present with us. And even though we're physically not in His presence, we are in His presence spiritually. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 5 through 8. Ephesians 4, 25 through 27. Anybody getting anything out of this? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 27. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. See, what happens when we react adversely to an adverse stimuli or sensualism, which means our feelings were hurt. Hello. Do I need to say that again? We have given place to the enemy. We step out from the peace of God, the comfort of knowing that He's with us and that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and we've taken on the hurt of the circumstance or the words or the stimuli brought to us from the outside or from the world. Do y'all understand that? Did you get that? Most important part of this is verse 27. Do not give place to the devil. See, the devil knows what buttons to push in you. He knows what things he can get you going on. Jean asked me this morning, she said, you know, there was a time when I'd get angry. When I'd see somebody driving like a darn fool, I'd get angry. Jean asked me, when you see these people in traffic, she said, when you see these people in traffic, are you angry? No. Distracted, but not angry. Amen? I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but I'm not perfect. For those of you who've been here for a while, you know that. For those of you who are new, you'll find that out. But I'm forgiven because I run to the rock that's higher than I. I call upon the Lord in the time of trouble, and He shows me great and mighty things that I don't even know. I can't even consider or think about in my life. Amen? See, when we're controlled and led by the Spirit, and we're not double-minded, then when those things come, we react by the Spirit of God, not by the outside sensual stimuli. Sensuali. What does that mean, sensual? Feelings, emotions, words, all based on the senses, right? Sensual. We're not talking about something sexual, we're talking about most of our life is based on sensualism. And one of the things God's striving to change in us, and when He comes in, He takes that sensualism and replaces it with truth. Outside circumstances are not the truth of God, but they affect us like it, man. How many know what I'm talking about? So if God's Word is truth, why are we vacillating with two opinions? Well, God, I know You're real, but what about this? But what about that? What about them? God says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Because why? The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Amen? And aren't you much happier when you walk in God's Word? When you use the Word and you get that peace is there and you see God, you may not see a change immediately. If it takes you just, every time something comes up in your way, you just start praying. Pray for the individual, pray for the circumstance, speak the Word into it, and you watch how your peace just remains constant. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. I don't have it on this morning, but I have a pendant that was given to me for Father's Day by my family. And what it has is a shield on it. And it says shield above the shield, and there's a cross on it, and at the bottom it says Ephesians 6:16. And you're going to find out what that is here in just a minute if you don't already know. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. See, God's given us the tools we need effective to deal with these circumstances and situations. And if all of a sudden you find yourself in a circumstance or a situation that doesn't feel comfortable and you feel like God may have stepped away from the scene, guess who moved? Verse 10 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in what? Strong in your opinions, strong in your abilities. It says strong in the Lord. And in what? In what? The power of His might, not your might. Put on, hello, sounds like more than a suggestion, it says put on the whole armor of God, that you, who? You may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The schemes, the strategies, the attacks, the weapons, amen? Anything that comes to steal your peace or steal your focus is a wile of the devil. I'm going to ask you, what did Jesus do when He died on the cross? What does the Bible say He did? He spoiled principalities and powers, and He made an open mockery and show of them. And then when He went to the grave and He went into hell, He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He took all authority from Satan. Satan has no more authority. He has no more power, except in your mind. So the wiles are what the Bible, we're going to read here in a few minutes, is what we raise the shield of faith to. And the shield of faith does what? Well, let's read it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your fight is not with flesh and blood. It's not with those people who you think are your enemies out there. Your fight is with the thoughts that the enemy brings to try to defeat you and to keep you off balance and to keep your mind off of the authority and the power in the Word of God. And what does John 1:1 say? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is the manifestation, the living Word. Amen? So it's taking your focus off of Jesus, isn't He? That's what He wants to do. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. What does the Word say in the New Covenant? It says that Jesus has been made the head over all principalities and powers. What does that do for us? Well, first of all, if Jesus is our head and we're the body, and we know by the Word of God we're seated to His right hand, at the right hand of God, then the enemy is His footstool. That means if we're the body, if you're lucky enough to be the foot, then you've got your foot right on Satan's neck. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your fight's not in the natural. Your fight's spiritual. And the things that come to steal your peace are spiritual. They're not physical. They seem right. They seem physical. Especially if somebody, some big old ugly thing comes up and gets in your face and says, you know, starts harassing or haranguing you. You didn't have to come up here. The person who that was meant for knows who I'm talking to. Whatever it is in your life, you put your circumstances there. And if you succumb to that, immediately your peace is gone and you're having a struggle. We're supposed to walk in the peace of God. Perfect peace is your heritage from God. Turmoil. What's that word? Where's Donna? What's that? Oh, that's right. What's that word, Patrick? Kerfuffle? The kerfuffle that might come? I like that. That's kind of a fun word, kerfuffle. I don't know who thought that up, but I'm grateful. Anyway, moving right along. Verse 13 tells you what you need to do. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Don't you usually consider it an evil day when all of a sudden things are going wrong and you've been attacked on every side? It's distracted you from the Lord, so your peace is gone. Isn't that a pretty bad day? To me, that's the worst day. I'm not walking there anymore. I'm free. I'm proclaiming it. I'm prophesying. I'm free. And I'm proclaiming and prophesying that you are free also. From this day forward, you're free in Jesus' name. And how many know that all those circumstances have to bow their knee and confess that Jesus is Lord? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you getting happy yet? I'm preaching myself happy. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. What do you do to stand? What can you do to stand completely? And what's the thing that is the all that's talked about here? You put on the whole armor of God. Stand therefore, in verse 14, having your waist girded with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness. That breastplate of righteousness is the righteousness of God that lives and dwells in you. That's Jesus. Not your righteousness, it's His righteousness. The righteous one who lives and dwells in you. Amen? Stand having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What's going to bring peace? The gospel. Hiding it in here. Getting it from here to here and walking in it. God tells us, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, but He also says, test me, try me. Test me and try me. And when you've done that, have you ever come out on the short end of the stick? I'll take that as no. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 16, now listen carefully. And above all, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. See, the sword of the Spirit is what we wield when the enemy attacks. When you're attacked, you usually find a weapon and use it, right? So when the enemy attacks our thoughts, our emotions, our circumstances, or tries to steal our peace, you think it's just going to go away because you get mad and go sit in a corner and sulk? You pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you speak or stick that sword in, which is the Word of God. Stick the Word of God in there and watch your peace come back and watch that circumstances run and fly and flee away. Amen? I want to make sure I didn't miss something. Okay, I did. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You guys thought I missed it. You need to understand that the shield of faith, just like the sword of the Spirit, is a proactive and not a reactive or deflective thing. It's aggressive. Now, what are you saying? See, the reason those darts land and you get yourself in a kerfuffle is because you put your shield down to see what's going on and the dart came, the fiery dart. And what do we mean by fiery? It means that our peace is gone. We're in a struggle. We're mad at the whole world, or we think the whole world's mad at us. Amen. How many can relate? You know what I'm talking about. Amen. But that shield of faith reaches out, grabs those fiery darts, and extinguishes them and violently throws them to the ground. So if the enemy's getting through to you, where's your shield of faith? And where's your sword? Are they right there in the ready position? So you can't let your guard down with the enemy we have. Not only the enemy but God, He's our enemy. Why? Because He hates the Word. And when we speak the Word, He can't do anything. Did you hear me? He can't do anything. He's powerless because He's already been defeated. Amen? So all He can do is try to play with our mind. Say amen or oh me. Let's go on. And take the helmet of salvation. See, when you got that helmet of salvation on too, that's the other thing. You're saved. That'll help protect you too. If one should happen to get by the shield, knowing that you're saved and that God's on your side and that God's for you, so even the devil can't be against you. Amen? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God in verse 17. Praying always with all prayers, supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now listen carefully. Prayers and supplications for all the saints. But now listen to what Paul is saying here. I believe it's Paul that's speaking. And for me, in other words, your prayers and supplications for me Let it be that I may have, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. I'm not sitting up here just to entertain you on Sundays. I'm not sitting up here, you know, because I just want to be seen or recognized. My job is to let the Spirit of God, and it's your job too. The only difference is the calling. You're all called and anointed. Why God chose the foolishness of preaching, I don't understand, but whatever. I'll be the foolish one that sits up here. That's fine. But He chose the foolishness of preaching. And what my job is, to hear from God. It doesn't mean you don't hear from God or you can't hear from God. But my job is, how does faith come? By hearing. And hearing. And hearing the Word of God. See, for some of you, you have literal physical distractions out there. And I'm not saying they're ungodly. I'm just saying you have jobs and things. You have things going on all the time. In my case, even though I have family and things like that, I have the ability. I can't tell you I'm thrilled by the way it came, but I'm thrilled that it came. To be able to sit and meditate the Word and meditate things in my life, search myself and see if there's things wrong in me. And by the things that I see in myself and by the things that God speaks to me, He gives me things for you. And that's the way it should be with a preacher called to God. Amen? Y'all believe that? Doesn't mean I'm the know-all or the end-all or the answer for all. He's the answer for all. But if I'm close to Him, and if somebody else is sitting up here and I'm sitting out there, my job is to trust that God is speaking to that person. And if through what they're saying doesn't line up exactly with what I think or believe, then my job is not to go and criticize or belittle or berate or put them down or go to them right then and there. It's to go and search the Word for myself, ask the Holy Spirit, and let the Holy Spirit be the one who convicts. And if you have to speak a word, the Bible says a word fitly spoken in season. It talks about a word fitly spoken in season. Soft answer turns away wrath. Amen. I don't go on the attack. I pray for that person. Amen? Let everything be done, how? Decently and in order. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's finish this up. In other words, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That ambassador in chains means that I'm an ambassador of God because I've chosen to be here, not because I was forced. I'm a slave by choice, not by force. I'm a slave not against my will, but because of my will. A slave to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Real quickly, I'm going to give you these last few scriptures, and we're going to move on. Give you a chance to give to the Lord. Matthew 12, verse 25. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, or shall be brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Are we the temple of God? And yet if we have an opinion that's anti the Word and anti God, and I'm not saying we deliberately set out to just go against God, but if we have any opinion, we're really a house that's divided against itself. Because He's the dwind, He dwells us. We're His temple. Amen? So if there's that kind of conflict, then what are we? Double-minded. We stopped operating and walking in truth and started operating in the sensual. Romans 3:4. That's the scripture I told you about. Romans 3:4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. See, somebody's got to be winner in this. Or something has got to be the winner. It's either us and our emotions, or our deceitful heart, according to Jeremiah 17:9, or it's the Word of God. Remember, you're gonna serve whoever you yield yourself servants to obey. I'm going to start in verse 1 real quickly. What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way. Chiefly because of them, we're committed to the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar. Why? Why do we do that? What does that mean? That means that even when this thing is out of control and going wild, you stop it, you take captive those thoughts, those circumstances, and you cast them down. Amen? And let the Word of God have first place, and the Spirit of God first place in your life. Amen? That's a good place where you can start practicing the presence of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Practicing the presence of God? As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. A few more scriptures and we'll do some praise and worship and give God His tithes and our offerings. Colossians 2, verses 13 through 15. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Thank you, Lord. Y'all still love me? Say what? Well, not for me, because God says you're going to be in. Never mind. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Colossians, thank you for correcting me. Listen now. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, in other words, all the sin and corruption of your life, He has made alive together with Him. Didn't you have a transformation when you got born again? You may not have started to do everything perfect, but your heart was changed. And you know that because instead of having a desire to just do whatever you wanted to or what you felt like, you all of a sudden had a desire to please God, didn't you? Is that not true of everybody in here? Ooh, glory to God. He is made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So when the enemy comes and lies to you and says, you know, you're not worthy, you're a phony, you look him right in the eye. You want to know how to spit in the devil's eye? Just turn around and quote the Word. Say, no, I'm not. I'm blessed of God. I'm a child of God. I'm above only and not beneath. I'm more than a conqueror. I have all the present, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelling bodily in me. I'm His child. I'm His heir. He has good thoughts about me. Amen. And what does that do? What does that do? That takes your focus off all the nonsense the enemy just tried to bring and puts it where it belongs. And you are the victor, not the victim. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen carefully. Here's the next most important part. And you can't read verse 13 without verse 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. In other words, you having to pay the penalty for your wrongdoing. Can you grasp and can you fathom in your spirit what that means? That means that even though we were guilty beyond a shadow of a doubt, even though we deserved punishment, Jesus became the scapegoat for us. What was that you said? But I don't know if God loves me. Only this much. Which was contrary to us. And listen, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. It's dead. It's nailed on the cross. It's not coming down. And it can't be resurrected. And I'm here to tell you, I believe with all of my heart, if you've had an experience with God and God's real in your life, you will never, ever change or turn away from the truth of God. I'm not saying you don't have the ability, but I'm saying you won't, because you'll always be in your right mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. I obey my Father. I say what He says. I do what He tells me to do. Amen. It says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Having disarmed, in other words, He's taken all the power. It's right here. Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. In what? In His death on the cross and His going to the grave and going into hell, He disarmed them. He took whatever tools and weapons they had, and now the only thing the devil can do is lie to you. Bring your thoughts away from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Triumphed over them in it. In closing, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Thank you, Lord. Listen to me carefully. I'll not fear what men can do to me or what men do to me. I'll fear the One who can take my name out of the book of life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where the treasure of your heart is, there will your... Whoa, wait a minute. I'm not reading in the right place. Oh, okay, yeah. There will your heart be also. I'm sorry, that's not the one that I wanted. Let me look here. Anyway, if Patrick can find it and put it up on the board, maybe... It's the one that says that He's given us the keys of the kingdom. The keys. He took them away. Didn't He say He disarmed principalities? He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave? And He's given them to us. He's given us the keys to the kingdom. Hallelujah. I know, you almost be glued or nailed to those chairs. I'm telling you, that's enough to make you shout, dance. Amen? We've got to stop seeing ourselves as victims mentality. Which one is it? 16:19. I screwed up again. Forgot the one. Let's turn to the real verse. Well, there it is right there. I'll turn to it. Y'all can just look at the board. I knew that too. Why I did it a second time, I can't explain to you. Must be because I'm human. That's not an excuse. And there it is. He's talking to Peter and he says in verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or the Hades shall not prevail against it. He's not talking about Peter being the rock. He's talking about the revelation of God, that Jesus is the Son of God. And then in verse 19 it says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So when those things come, you loose the Word of God, and you bind the attack of the enemy, and you rebuke it, and you cast down the vain imaginations that come with it, and you take captive those thoughts, and let the shield of faith extinguish those fiery darts, and violently throw them to the ground. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Many of you know that my son was a victim of a hit and run on May 30th. And as details of the accident come to light, it's much more profound on what God has done to him. The police that first arrived on the scene were told that it was a fatality, yet another one, only to find my son there. He had lost consciousness briefly, but he was making jokes with them, saying he seemed to have misplaced his scooter. And that's my son, 100%. So he was taken to DG against my better judgment, against my will. I wanted him at my hospital, of course, but was taken to DG. And the doctors told the cops that he wasn't going to make it through the night. That call that I got from the physician is every mother's worst nightmare. Saying that he had been involved in a hit and run. He was on his scooter on his way to work when a car turned in front of him, taking his right away. That car left the scene. It was in front of a 7-Eleven, thank God, because many witnesses chased after this person. They didn't catch him, but they tried. Fortunately, thank you, God, the front license plate was ripped off and left at the scene. The police then went to get him. They found him at his apartment, still in his car, parked cattywampus against in two parking spots. He was coming down on a three-day binge of meth. Told the cops that, and when they asked him if he had hit anything, he said, "I felt a bump and freaked out." He felt a bump. Which is horrible. I think, how can you not stop? Anyway, I get to the hospital. He's bleeding profusely from his head. He's got a huge wound here. He's in a neck brace because he has a spinal cord injury. At that time, we didn't know the extent of it. Had no movement to his arms at all, but he was hypersensitive. You could walk by him like this, and the breeze would cause him to scream. It was so intense. He had no hand movement, no arms. He had an open fracture on his left lower leg. So when we get there, they were taking him for tests, CAT scan, x-rays, they did MRIs, the whole thing. Thank God I was there because his care in the emergency room was horrible. But God put me in that place to take care of him, I do believe. He had, when he finally got up to ICU, he had the best surgeon in the world. The chief officer of the orthospine clinic took care of him, did his surgery, came to see him every day. Every day, this guy has gotten better. He has gotten better. His left hand has come back, I bet it's 85%. He's got full movement to it. His fingers work. His hands, his left hand is slightly painful, but it works. His left one works, his right one not so much. So he can move it like this. He can wave. It's still painful. He has to wear a glove a lot of the times because the temperature variation really, really bothers him. He is walking. The spinal cord injury did not do anything to the sensation. It's only his arms, thank God for that. Surgery went well. He had surgery the very next day, and it went well. They inserted a rod in his tibia and then just kind of stabilized the fib. He's in a walking boot. He walks with a cane. He is a miracle. I absolute miracle, because I have taken care of people with this spinal cord injury. It's called central cord syndrome, where it's swelling, and a lot of times it requires surgeries. He has, did not. As the swelling's going down, it's getting better. The physicians told him, and I did too, I said, no one can tell you if you're going to get better, if it's going to be days, weeks, months, or years. No one can tell you what you're going to get back. But this guy is, he's amazing. And I do give God credit for that, because he is healing him. He's giving him the will to fight. We are trying to lobby for justice for this kind of injuries. In Denver City alone, that's not Lakewood, that's not Wheat Ridge, it's just Denver City alone, there have been 2,500 hit and run just in 1 year. It's horrible. The assistant DA on his case, she took us in the room because we're going to go to every hearing. His bail reduction hearing was last Tuesday. It was the first time we've seen this guy. Personally, I mean, we've been to his apartment and saw how he lived. I needed to see that, as did Tom, just to try and understand the personality of people who can injure somebody and leave. This assistant district attorney took us into a room before the hearing and told us that this is a probation-eligible offense, which is appalling. It's absolutely appalling. This guy, who has many priors, needs to serve prison time. Prison time. And Thomas will tell you that, too. His last prison sentence, he's been in and out of prison, my son, his whole life, since he was 16. And it wasn't until he got a very stiff sentence and spent 7 years in prison. He said, that broke me. And that made me realize what I've done and what my life has been. I give God total credit for that. Complete. And I believe Hallelujah. That this man needs the same thing. So, at the hearing, the guy that hit him, his attorney, this man will be 54 in August, his public defender asked for personal recognizance bond. The reporter who wrote the story on Thomas said to me later, he said, when you stood up, and I'm like, I stood up? And he said, yes, when you stood up, I was afraid of what you were going to say to this man. I don't remember standing up. I remember being totally appalled that anybody would ask for personal recognizance when my son, who's injured, is right there for him to stare. But the assistant district attorney, whom I did not like in that meeting with the three of us, stood up, and she came a bulldog. And I thought that was wonderful. The reporter, to backtrack, had asked me what I would say to this man if I was face-to-face. And I would say to him the same thing that she said to him. You did not leave, or you did not stop 2 feet from him. You didn't stop a block from him. You went home and left him to die in the street. And I praise God that this man will find Jesus, because he doesn't. He's a horrible meth addict, which is not of God. We all know that. But I also want justice for my son, and I'm hoping that he will stay in jail, in prison, where he still is. He can't make the bail that, thank God, that judge gave him. But some good has to come out of this, not only from Thomas, but for this man as well. I mean, we have to have compassion for him, too, and all the other victims out there. We went to his clinic for his spine the other day, and again the chief came in to just check on Thomas, and he said, you are a miracle. You are absolutely a miracle. And I will say that till the day he dies. I mean, I call him a miracle boy. He showed me this morning that he can walk up the 3 steps to my house. Every day is better. It's better than the last, and I praise him that he will be 100%.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. See, Romans 8:28 says, that's not the one I want. The Bible says that all things work together for good to those who love God. And God turns that's Romans 8:28, but the Bible says that he turns what was meant for our harm into good. what was meant for our destruction into good. And can I tell you something? There are some people who sit and say, well, about what, you know, prison? You know, what good is that going to do? Can I tell you something? I spent 12 years evangelizing in the prison system of this state. 12 years going inside the walls of Buena Vista and Fort Canyon City, Old Max. And when God gets you in a place where you can't be distracted by anything else, He's got you as a captive audience, He can speak to your heart. He can speak to your heart. And God's already turning this to good, what was meant for His harm to good. And that means what we just heard was the testimony. The surgeons and everything. Compound fractures. Spinal cord. They thought his spinal cord was severed, didn't they? If I remember what you told me. So that's a miracle from God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Oh, Miss Deborah. What's that? So we thank God for that. Amen? Hallelujah. God's on the throne. But this also serves as a teaching lesson for your son too, reinforcing what he already was finding out. Hallelujah. See, when God's in control, you're never... Y'all understand that? If God's in control of your life, you're never... Your circumstances are not out of control. I don't know if you want to write that down. If God's in control, you're never out of control. Your circumstances are never out of control. Kathy, the situation affected you adversely, but spiritually, it's been a shot in the arm for you, hasn't it? It showed you the faithfulness. It showed you the goodness of God. Amen? And shows you that God's for you. He's not against you. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And see, what God does through that, He not only makes it better for all the individuals involved, but He opens the door where all of a sudden there's a heart of flesh where a heart of stone was, and receptive to the Word of God. So the seed, the Word of God, the seeds go and are planted, and they bring about a positive effect. They accomplish what they're sent to do, and they do not return void. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to rejoice with her today. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for what You're doing, the fact that You're still on the throne, You're still a miracle-working God, and Your grace is sufficient, Lord. Your grace, it's radical, Lord. It's radical grace. It's not based on anything we can say or do. It's based on the fact that You created us for You and You love us, and You've done everything. We couldn't do anything, Lord, except receive from You. You've done everything. You've made the covenant with us, and you've sealed it by Your own self, and we're the benefits. We're the recipients of that. We thank You for that. We praise You for that in Jesus' name. Now I pray that all hearts are clear. I pray for any who have a need here this morning. In Jesus' name, I thank You that they're healed, that they're free, that their physical, mental, and spiritual capacity is enlarged and enhanced, and they suffer no lack or want in Jesus' name. And we give You all the praise and all the honor and glory. Are all hearts clear? Then let's give God His tithes and our offerings. Amen. It was worth coming here this morning just to hear that testimony.
Yes, Heavenly Father, it was a blessed testimony. And it goes right along with what Bill was teaching us this morning, Heavenly Father, about Your love. And when we walk in the power of Your Holy Spirit and allow Him to work through us, because yes, we are Your tools,
yes,
miracles do happen.
Yes.
And we know that Thomas is going to be completely,
amen,
healed, because
restored.
That's Your plans for us,
amen,
to prosper us, not to harm us.
Amen.
And that's what we're believing, Heavenly Father. And it's also a lifting to the church here to know that You've heard our prayers in regards,
amen,
to this situation. And Heavenly Father, we ask You to bless each and every one of those that are here this morning. We ask You to bless and multiply this offering that we're about to receive so that we can continue to do good not only in this neighborhood but throughout the entire world.
Amen.
In Jesus' most precious name, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, give thanks with a grateful heart this morning. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
Lift your hands and sing with me. With my hands lifted up, with a heart filled with praise, with a song of thanksgiving, I'll bless Thee, O Lord. I'll bless Thee, O Lord. I'll bless Thee, O Lord. With a song of thanksgiving, I bless Thee, O Lord. I bless Thee, O Lord. I bless Thee, O Lord. With a song of thanksgiving, I'll bless Thee, O Lord. With my hands lifted up and my heart filled with praise, with a song of thanksgiving, I bless Thee, O Lord. I bless Thee, O Lord. I bless Thee, O Lord. With a song of thanksgiving, I'll bless Thee, O Lord. Father, right now, with our hands lifted up and with our hearts filled with praise, we bless You this morning. We thank You for this time together, Lord. We thank You for the Holy Spirit being here. We thank You for the time of worship. We love You, Lord. We worship You today. Father, I pray and I speak Your blessing on each one of these people today, Lord. I thank You for the best week they've ever had, Lord, and a better one next, Lord. Lord, as we go our way, may Your thoughts and Your presence be with us. May we continually be in Your presence, Lord, listening to You, hearing from You, walking in the truth, victorious, Lord, in every part of our life, in Jesus' name. I thank You, Lord, for the victory. I thank You again for Your people. I thank You for Your presence being here today. Seal Your word in our hearts. And now bless our time of fellowship. Bless the food in Your people. We sanctify it by Your word in this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.